Just days before President Trump's scheduled dinner with China's President Xi Jinping at the G20 meeting in Argentina, the president told the Wall Street Journal that he expects to increase tariffs on Apple products imported from China if the U.S. and China don't reach a deal. White House economic advisor Larry Kudlow doubled down on those threats yesterday.
The president will probably reiterate his view. We want a world, ideally, of zero tariffs, zero non-tariff barriers, and zero subsidies. To repeat, the president said there is a good possibility that we can make a deal, and he is open to it. And he has said as recently as yesterday, the day before, if need be, if things don't work out in this U.S.-China summit meeting, he will invoke another $267-some-odd billion in tariffs.
Will these threats undermine a possible breakthrough on trade negotiations? Well, joining us now to discuss is Alex Lawson, senior reporter on international trade for Law 360 and the co-host of Law 360's Pro Se podcast. Alex, thanks for being with us.
Thanks so much for having me. I appreciate it.
So there's a big meeting coming up. We know it's the G20 a couple days away, but there's the relationship between President Trump and President Xi heading into this meeting, given the rhetoric of this week, is a little tense. What are we expecting?
Well, that's a great question, and it's not something that has a lot of clarity at this point. But what we know is that up until about a week ago, there was a lot of optimism that there could be something done, something in the vein of an announcement to generally agree not to do new tariffs on one another, and maybe we'll continue to talk about something a little grander down the line. That began to change last week when U.S. Trade Representative Robert Lighthizer put out a report that was basically like an addendum to the initial report they put out earlier this year that led to all these tariffs, which there's no mandate for him to do. The office just released it and said, hey, by the way, we still haven't seen any movement from China on these issues that we demanded changes on. And that was seen as kind of setting a pretense for something not happening at the G20. They're like, look, they haven't made these changes, so we're not going to ease up on them. And then that kind of carried forward in Trump's interview with the Wall Street Journal earlier this week. It's actually kind of curious to hear Larry Kudlow say that Trump thought there could be a deal, because in that Journal interview, he said, I don't see a deal happening this weekend. They got to get their messaging straight over there. So after a period of a little bit of optimism, despite what Kudlow says, I would say the prospects are pretty low for any kind of grand bargain this weekend.
Also, who has the upper hand here, really? I mean, the more we learn about what China's doing at the economic level and in the world as an economic power, are tariffs a threat to China at this point?
That's sort of the ace that Trump has up his sleeve, because we import more from China than they import from us. And it's a little ironic because that exact dynamic is what has Trump so angry, because he's always talking about the trade deficit. But in this context of applying tariffs, it actually kind of helps him. It helps him politically. He has more products to hit tariffs with than China does. So they can go for longer down this path. And the looming question has been whether they're willing to sort of go all the way to the hilt and basically put a punitive tariff on every single product that comes in from China. And you heard Kudlow in The Sound there say they're ready to do that. The $267 billion bump that he's talking about would be the remainder of all trade that is not yet hit with tariffs. So
Let's talk about that, though, because that's a lot of money. Mm-hmm. And who ultimately would that affect? I mean, that's going to affect our average everyday Americans, right? If we start putting tariffs on what China imports we've got in this country, who's going to pay for that?
Yeah, that's an important thing to consider. And they know that, too. And the way you can tell that is the way that they have staged these tariffs. The first tranche of tariffs covered about $50 billion. And that dealt mostly with sort of industrial inputs and things like that manufacturers use. So it was upstream stuff. It's like steel components and things like that. Things that don't affect the end user as much. But now this latest batch they put in, and certainly the next batch if they go that way, began to deal with like consumer electronics, furniture, appliances, things like that.
iPods, right? iPhones,
yeah,
all that, yeah.
Like mm-hmm. Most notably, like things that you and I and everyday Joe and Jane actually purchase with our money. And it takes a while for the effects of tariffs to actually work their way down. There are other mitigating factors that can blunt the effects of tariffs, but there's no question that if you start putting overly punitive tariffs on everyday items, the people who make and import those items are going to have to raise prices to, you know, sort of absorb that damage, and it's going to get passed on to the consumer.
And we just want to ask a follow-up question here. If you can speak to the situation with the United States and the World Trade Organization judges.
Yeah, that's the other thing that has to do with China a little bit, but that's the other sort of inflection point of trade friction you're going to be hearing about a lot. To keep it relatively brief, the World Trade Organization is where, you know, trade disputes are litigated among nations, right? And the ultimate body that has a say over that is called the appellate body. You can think of them as like the Supreme Court of trade. And judges, there are seven judges that sit on that body. And right now, the U.S. has decided to single-handedly stonewall the appointment of new judges. So there are seven seats. We're down to three right now. So there are only three of seven seats full. That's the minimum number it takes to hear even one case. When one more person leaves, which is scheduled to happen next December, so December 2019, they won't even be able to hear any cases. And the net effect of that is basically a weakening of like accountability in the legal trade system, right? The idea that you can't meaningfully sue anybody if they're doing something wrong, if there's no court to hear it. And part of the design of the World Trade Organization is that it operates by consensus. That means every single member has to agree on literally everything they do. Now, this seemed like a fine time when the US and the European Union and China and Canada, all the economic powerhouses, agreed on this system. But the Trump administration has a lot of problems. They claim that the appellate body is a threat to US sovereignty. They don't like the idea of foreign tribunals deciding what's appropriate about our trade policy, and they want to see real changes. They've made a couple of demands which get pretty weedy and wonky. The European Union has put forward a proposal to address those demands. So at this time when the Trump administration has been trying to repair its relations with the EU and Japan and the UK, we're going to launch trade talks with them. This thing, this issue over the World Trade Organization's appellate body and its judges is sort of the next point of friction that could emerge among the U.S. and its allies.
Fascinating. Alex Lawson is a senior reporter on international trade with Law 360 and the co-host of Law 360's Pro Se podcast. Alex, thanks again for your reporting.
Thank you so much.
You come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Geoffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at The New Yorker. So join us every week on The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.